Hey, Max Armstrong, how you doing, my friend?
I'm fine. I'm still focused on your belting. How many can you do that more than one kind of belting?
Oh, man. Well, I did Piano Man by Billy Joel. That's my go-to. And then I don't quite remember the second one, Max.
Yeah, that's what I thought. No, I didn't know people did that stuff anymore. Tell Mr. Kessler hello. By the way, you've got such a fine newsman there.
Oh,
well, hello, Max. I'm here. Hey, Max. How you doing,
hey,
pal?
Rascal, how have you been?
I've been really good. Nice to hear from you.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, Max, I definitely, we love Lauren Lapka, too, who's now doing news with John Williams. We had her most of the time, but I am happy with the shuffle that we got Mr. Kessler as well, and we're very lucky to have him. A very fine newsman indeed, my friend.
Well, he and I go way back. We have a little history.
I still have that A-Static JT-30 microphone you gave me.
Whoa!
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I forgot about that.
How much do you owe him for it?
It was a Christmas present. I was telling Max likes to collect microphones, and the A-Static JT-30 was a dispatcher's microphone. It had a cool 50s sleek look to it.
Ooh.
And harmonica players figured out that it sounds pretty cool when you play harmonica through this lo-fi microphone. It sounds really bluesy. And so Max, I was probably telling him that, and he found one somewhere.
Max, you're a good gift giver,
yeah,
my friend.
He was, definitely.
Maybe I'll put you on my list someday.
You better. I mean, come on. The number of times I put you on this show, let's go, Max. Let's go.
That's right.
Hey, I'm going to ask you about the harvest late in the season thing in a second. But 224 texted it. They're like, does Max have any thoughts on this rare and brilliant supermoon? I know you can't see it over Lake Michigan right now, Max, but it is this incredible moon off to the east that came, and we're really enjoying it off the snowy and icy lakefront here.
Yeah, I can imagine. So I saw that, I knew it was less than complete last night when I saw it. And where I am, we have a cloud cover now. So it's a little bit obscured here in this area tonight.
Yeah, well, we're sorry about that. But yeah, all these moons are great. I got to say, the morning of the big snowstorm we had Saturday, there's this guy I follow on Twitter. His name's Bob. I forget his last name, but he's a great follow on social media. He loves weather, and he's a farmer, and he was taking video of himself harvesting the last 40 acres of his farm at Saturday. That must have been November the 29th. Am I just naive, or is that a little late or later than usual to harvest corn?
Well, it's late for this season because most of the crop has been in already. I know who you're talking about. Bob is out. I think he's in the DeKalb County area is where he's located. And, there is still some crop left in the field in a few places. Not much. I mean, what you often find is maybe a part-time farmer is, let's say he's a police officer, a physician or something else, and he farms on the side, and he or she may be late getting to that crop. But most of the crop has been in, it's in the bin, and we're hoping that the prices climb on what we've harvested.
Any luck of that happening?
Well, they have rallied some. So there is some good news on that front. And farmers are, they're kind of optimistic. There's a lot of belt tightening that's going to go on this winter. There's no doubt about it. And family expenses will be those things that have to be trimmed. And I tell you, who's really hurting at the present time are equipment dealers, because there's too much equipment out there. Farmers are not buying. In the survey that came out by Purdue CME Group earlier this week, only 11% of them said that if there was any government money that came along to help them, only 11% would be buying new machinery. 60% said they'd be using that money to pay down debt. So, we're still in a bind, even though we've seen prices recovering some. And the part of the bind, John, as we've talked about on so many occasions, the cost of doing business, all of the costs are elevated yet to this point for farmers, and so that makes the margins very tight. They'll be talking about that right in your neighborhood downtown as the Illinois Farm Bureau gathers for its meeting this weekend. You may see some farmers on the streets. Their meeting starts Saturday and runs through Tuesday.
Is that a yearly meeting that happens around this time in the city?
Yeah, it's the largest farm organization in the state, not as large as they used to be. They cut out those of us who aren't farmers, surprisingly, only in Illinois. There's a little bit of a dispute going on between the Illinois organization and the American Farm Bureau, and lawyers are benefiting from it.
I'm filling in next week for Lisa on Monday, and I was looking up things that happened 100 years ago on that date, simply because that seems to be where I find some of my content. And Max, Calvin Coolidge was in town speaking to farmers. I don't know if that's the same continuous conference that has continued around this time of the year, but it was quotes from Coolidge talking about his tariffs and telling farmers that, yes, they are hurting them a little bit, but they will pay off in the long run. And I thought, boy, what's new is old again, or old is new again.
Isn't that crazy? And it was probably the Illinois Farm Bureau. I could be wrong about that. Or maybe the American Farm Bureau. The American Farm Bureau used to be headquartered in Chicago and suburbs, until they moved it to Washington about 30 years ago. But, and farmers are cautiously optimistic about these tariffs. You know, there's still probably 40% of them who really wonder about the long-term benefit for agriculture. There's quite a bit of concern about it yet.
Well, let's just be frank here. I think a lot of farmers now are Republicans and are supporters of Donald Trump a couple times. There's no group that's a monolith, of course. That may not be the case. Do you think that they're finding that optimism from their appreciation for the president and showing reverence to his guidance? Or do you think it's actually backed up by some data of what could happen down the line, if you understand what I'm asking?
Well, I think they're looking at the near-term situation. You know, we all do. And they're looking at what's happening right now and all of the attention that China has drawn back and has been importing from Brazil. In fact, China has promised to import 12 million metric tons of soybeans by the end of the year and 25 million metric tons for the next 3 years after that each year. We'll see if they do. The Chinese are notorious about not honoring commitments, but... the president has some things in mind to get them to respond positively. So we'll see.
Yeah, a lot of we'll sees out there. That happens in the farming life, whether it's the weather or policy. It's a life of we'll see, I guess.
Those are the two big things that really have an effect. But yet farmers, looking ahead toward next year, I think like 40% of them said they're not going to make any change in their cropping practices. You know, some of them may lower the... They try to get a cheaper kind of seed. They may use less fertilizer, but about 40% in that Purdue CME survey that came out 2 days ago said that they'll make no change in their cropping practices next year. And they're already buying their inputs for next year, and they're very expensive inputs. That's the tough part about it.
For sure. Max, I could talk to you forever, but we're out of time tonight. Take care. If I don't speak to you before the holidays, have a great one, and we'll chat in 2026, I'm sure.
All right. Take care of yourself, John. Always nice to be on with you.
For sure. That's Max Armstrong on a myriad of topics today.